us here. It's, what time is it? 8:38 on Saturday night, and I'm here with Eleanor. No, I'm just going to put her down right here. So that both of us there. And you don't have to get close to it. You can sit back like Daddy.
So, what did you do today, Miss E?
Well, at Uncle Gary's, I played the game Peggle Deluxe on Uncle Gary's computer. It was a very fun game, and there was even a unicorn in it, and his name was Bjorn. It's spelled B-J-O-R-N. It was so much fun, and if I had scored a lot of points, you know, there's the song, la 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 la. And, of course, and even, and there are these purple pigs and these green pigs that scored a lot of points, you know, and if sometimes the ball had fallen into this little thing below, you'd get a free ball.
Hmm. Sounds like a pinball game.
Well, it's a peg ball game.
Peg ball, oh, like pachinko. Okay, I think
yes.
I know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Yes, yes, of course. And we went to the library after
yes.
we picked up Miss E.
Yes, of course. And we checked out some more movies. I got three more movies, which was, one of them was about Bill Nye the Science Guy. The other one was about, it's actually a new movie, it's called Stuart Little 3,
mm-hmm.
called Call of the Wild.
Ooh.
And it's about, I read on the back that it's about that the Littles decided to go out on a camping trip. You know, and that's far away from the city of New York. Although they didn't plan for watching out for the most dangerous beast in the woods. And Stuart learns a lot of survival skills from this wacky skunk named Rico.
Oh, gosh.
And Snowbell, he comes along too. Also there's a street cat from New York named Monty for protection.
Okay, well, you haven't seen the movie yet, and
no.
Maybe when you see it, maybe mommy'll watch it with you.
Yeah.
Stuart Little. I got the first disc of the first season of Boston Legal. that show has William Shatner in it, and I think I mentioned that to you on the phone today, Mrs. Did I mention the two little YouTube videos? I don't know if I sent those to you or not. Doesn't matter. But there's great little scenes with William Shatner, just precious funny. Yes.
You see, Game of Peggle Deluxe, it's only, you know, it's at, you can download it for free.
Oh, well.
And it's only 80 minutes long.
80 minutes? That's way too long.
No, it isn't.
It's an hour and 20 minutes. That's as long as a movie. Good Lord. Well, you played it for that long?
Well, yes, although there were only 2 minutes left, and I played it for the last 2 minutes, and then it stopped.
Wow. Holy cats.
I know.
So, Sam came with us to the library, and he turned in some movies he'd watched and got some more, and I guess he's feeling better, but he was a little, you know, just quiet today, and, you know, a little snippy with Miss E. Little strife with the DVD player. He just came in and stopped the movie.
And also, my third movie that was checked out at the library was the BFG.
Mm-hmm. The BFG.
The BFG.
Oh, we went up to visit Grandpa Gary.
Yes.
And before we come to pick you up tomorrow, I'm going to wash Miss E's hair because there's a little bit of smoke in it. He's still smoking, but it is much reduced from what he was. I installed a second hard disk for him for backup. And Eleanor played with Peachy.
Yes, Peachy was very nice, and when I petted her, she always arched her back.
And I took a number of pictures of Eleanor petting Peachy. Peachy looks quite a bit like Harry, but more white. The head is orange, and there's a big orange spot on the back and stuff, but there's more white than Harry has.
Yes.
So, and then like that.
Daddy?
What?
Do you think that tomorrow, on Mommy's computer, do you think that I could, try to find the game Pego Deluxe?
Yeah, I think so. I think we could do that.
Yeah, because it's such a fun game.
And Jim Orlando brought his computer over, and I ran through it. Well, I fixed most of it yesterday, but did a fair amount today, and it's pretty clean now. So, now Miss E is going to read a couple more chapters of...
Hank the Cowdog. The Case of the Swirling Killer Tornado.
Case of the Swirling Killer Tornado.
That's right.
After you.
Chapter 5, The Bacon Temptation. I went straight to the rug which lay in the middle of the utility room floor. There I laid down and ordered Drover to do the same. I wanted little Everett to know and see through our very actions that our motives were here were as pure as the driveled snow and that we had every intention of being good dogs in the house. I mean, some of your lower class dogs would take advantage of every situation and every little gesture of kindness. You let them into the house and they go nuts. Not us fellers. We knew our place on that rug in the utility room. That's all we needed or wanted, just a warm, dry place in the same area of the house where the cowboys took off their dirty boots and spurs. That was plenty good for us. Shucks, we didn't need to go even one step farther into Salome's clean house. A ranch dog had no business in the kitchen or the living room anyways. The utility room was just fine and well laid down on that rug and became models of perfect dog behavior in the house. Alfred looked at us. Are you going to sweep out here? Oh, yes, you're fine. Perfect place to sleep. We were just glad to have a dry rug and a roof over our heads. He wrinkled his nose. Phew, your dog is wet and you stink. Yes, well, the wet dog smell wasn't one of my favorites either, but sometimes a guy can't help how he smells. We were doing the best we could. I mean, we didn't try to stink. We don't want to wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I think I'll stink today. Those things just happen. Well, night and night. He turned out the light and went back to bed. Ah, yes, that was the light. No dog could have asked for more. Outside in the cruel world, the lightning tore through the dark fabric of night, and the thunder boomed, and the rain made a steady roar it was a thunderstorm, see? Perhaps you had thought it was an invasion of Charlie Monsters, and okay, there were for a few minutes I had thought so too, but the evidence was beginning to point toward a thunderstorm instead of an invasion. At first glance, they are very familiar. Every dog gets fooled once in a while, and it's no disgrace, no big deal. I stretched out on the rug and surrendered my grip on the world. At last, no cares or responsibilities, just a warm, dry pork chop to snorkel the mark sniffer, but there was a light shining in my eyes. Rover, turn out the light, will you? Rumble, snuffbox, chicken feather. Drover, I said up and cracked open one eye, and a light, a beam of light cutting through the darkness and stabbing me in the retinas. I was about to deliver a warning barking to the whoever it was when, much to my surprise, I heard a whispering voice, which I recognized as Little Alfred's. It appeared that he had crept back out to the utility room and was now wielding a flashlight. Doggins, I'm scared. Want to come sleep in my room? Come on into his room. I ran that one through my databanks and received a confirmation of my first reaction. That wasn't a great idea. Why, that very thought of moving deeper into a house which contained a potentially deadly range wife. No thanks.
Deadly range wife?
We were doing fine in the... It's ranch. I said ranch.
Range wife.
What was that in his right hand? Well, Everett's right hand, that is. He appeared to be holding a strip of something white in his right hand, and he seemed to be more or less gesturing with it, pointing it in our direction. I squinted my eyes, lifted my ears to full alert position, and gave my tail several slow whaps on the floor. The light was so poor out that I could hardly... Sniff, sniff. Bacon? A strip of raw bacon? I sampled the air again to confirm my original reading on the alleged material, and yes.
Let me see. Where's the word? Alleged.
Alleged material, and yes, the boy had come armed with a slice of raw bacon.
Wow.
Oh, brother. Have we ever discussed raw bacon? Maybe not. It's not a subject that I enjoy discussing. I mean, it's a subject I love to discuss. Also to dream about and eat. But any discussion of raw bacon is bound to expose in a certain, weakness, you might say, in my innermost fundamental... Okay, let's cut to the bottom line. I have a terrible weakness for raw bacon. There it is. I've never been able to say no to a slice of raw bacon. Holy smokes, just saying it makes my mouth water. Little Alfred was well aware of my weakness for bacon, and he had come to tempt me. I had to resist. Hey, I had figured out his little game. I knew what he was trying to pull, lure us into his bedroom, and I had to be strong. I turned my nose toward the north wall, hoping but the fragrant little bacon waves followed my nose, filled in with. My ears began to jump around. My eyelids quivered. The last 3 inches of my tail began to squirm around like like something that didn't belong to the rest of my body. My mouth was watering so hard that I found it necessary to lick my chops. And that was a bad sign. I mean, when a guy goes to licking his chops, it usually means, no, stop that, tail lie still, mouth go dry, ears be still, nose sniff no more. I tried counting sheep. I pretended that I was locked in a sealed bubble, a soap bubble, into which no smell could penetrate. No look. I tried to concentrate on the most unpleasant subject I could imagine, Pete the Barn Cat. I saw his grinning face and heard his sniveling, whining voice. Pete would want me to surrender to the bacon urge, to be lured into the depths of the house, and to be caught in the act by selling me. It seemed to be working, the Pete deal. I disliked him as so much that the mere thought of him made the mere thought of raw bacon totally... Boy, that stuff smelled delicious. I couldn't turn off my nose. What's it got to do? I mean, we've got this very sensitive high-tech sensory device sitting out there on the end of your snoot, and it can't pick up the scent of a fly 300 yards away in the midst of a hurricane. And most of the time, that's good, but sometimes it works against you when the smell of that bacon was about to drive my bazooka.
Okay, hold on. Let me see that last... Where's the last sentence you read? Where was the last sentence that you read?
What?
Oh, okay. Whenever you see these the three dots like that, that means you should pause for a moment before you barrel on to the next thing.
All right.
So, works against you when the smell of that bacon was about to drive me bazooka.
All right.
Okay.
I was trembling. The waterworks in my mouth were pumping away. I mean, we're talking about an artesian well flowing 100 gallons a minute. And when a guy has a river running through his mouth, he's got to lick his chops.
Lick his chops.
Drover, wake up. This is an emergency. Much to my surprise, he sat straight up. Thanks, pal. I really hate to bother you, but I need your help perhaps more than at any time in my entire career. I smell bacon. Yes, and I don't have time to go into all the details, but we must stiffen our resolve and deny ourselves the momentary pleasure of raw bacon? Exactly. And as I was saying, this is going to be one of those deals where we have to operate on total blind trust. I see. So I guess it all comes down to this, Trover. Do you trust me totally, or would you rather be struck blind for the rest of your life? Oh my gosh! I must confide you, my friend. The smell of that bacon is pulling me, luring me, tugging me into Salome's house of horrors, from which no dog has ever returned alive. Oh my gosh! And I'm dependent on you to be strong, Rover. After years and years of being a dingbat, you must rise to the occasion and help me resist the lure of that bacon smell. Oh my gosh! We're dependent on you, son. The entire mass forces of the security division. If you weaken and crumble now, we'll all be thrashed by Salome's broom, swept away like, I love bacon, Drover. Stop me. Do something. Hurry. Okay, Hank. I think I can handle it. I knew you could, Drover. Honest, I did. I always knew that somewhere in the garbage heap of your mind, there was a tiny bean sprout of courage, just waiting to grow into mighty oak tree. I can't do it, Hank. You can depend on me. It was, to say the least, a touching moment. I mean, there we were. The elite of the security division, the cream of the tuna on toast.
That's elite of the security division.
The smartest, the strongest, the best in our profession. We were fighting for our dignity, our honor, our very survival, and what was Drover? The moron, the dunce, the backstabbing, two-timing, cheating, bushwhacking, counterfeit little... Do you know what he did? He marched over to Little Everett and ate my bacon! Okay, so be it. This was war. Nobody eats my bacon and lives to eat the second piece. Rover lives by, but he didn't eat the second piece. Or did he? You'll see. I love bacon. Me too.
Yes,
bacon
is
so...
But not raw bacon. Blech.
Well, I love the bacon. It's so good, but not raw bacon.
No.
What
no.
does raw bacon taste like?
I have never had the occasion to taste it, but I don't want to. It's greasy and gunky and slimy.
Yeah.
It's slimy.
Yeah. Chapter 6, 3 pounding hearts in the kitchen. I had to get over growls and fangs to convince him that I was taking charge of the case. But that was no big deal. And then I had to follow little Everett into the kitchen to collect my bacon. He had come with only one piece, don't you see? And he had to raid the refrigerator again. Instead of refrigerator. Refrigerator. Food with the icebox. He had to raid the icebox again to get my special bacon aboard. Following the beam of his flashlight, we crept on silent toes and paws into the kitchen. There we halted in front of the fridge and icebox. Alfred put a finger to his lips and said, "Shh." And he gave me a wink. I didn't wink back because, well, dogs don't wink. Do we? I don't think so. Seems to me that our eyelids more or less work together, and where one goes, the other is likely to follow. Anyways, I didn't wink back, but I didn't move my paws up and down, signaling enormous anticipation, and I did lick my chops and went to broad, joyous swings on the tail section. I'm sure the boy knew at a glance that this was a very important moment in my career. And would you like to guess what the little stink pot did? Instead of just handing me the bacon and holding it out so that I could lift it gently from his outstretched fingers, he laid it over the top of my snout. You can imagine what a commotion this caused. I mean, there I was dying inside from bacon lust, and he drained my award over the top of my snout. Where was I getting extreme and maximum smells, but where I couldn't reach it with my tongue and teeth? I tried a correction maneuver, moving my jaws at a high rate of speed. Chomping, that is. But that didn't seem to help. I then shifted into a second correction maneuver. Shot my tongue straight out to max length. Threw a 180 degree curl into it and sent it arcing back over the top of my nose. Did you follow all of that? It was pretty complicated, actually, and if you miss some of the steps, don't worry. As long as I know what I'm doing, it doesn't matter if you do or not. I definitely knew what I was doing, and I did it about as well as it could be done. That reverse curl was pretty amazing, but I ran out of tongue about half an inch short of the prize. At that point, I initiated correction 3. Went full reverse on all engines in hopes that, well, the thought The thought had occurred to me that if I ran backward fast enough, my mouth might somehow catch up with the elusive bacon. Not a bad idea, but it didn't work either. What it did accomplish was to crash my tail section into a kitchen chair, which more or less scooted and scratched across the
Limoleum
floor, and caused all three of us to freeze in our tracks. In the dead silence, we heard a bed squeak in a distant room, then a voice that sent cheers of feel down my spine.
Cheers of feel?
Phil.
Cheers of Phil.
Then, chills of fear. And we're talking about serious heavy-duty feels of cheer. Because the voice belonged to the most feared woman on the ranch. In all of Ocho Drake County, in the whole state of Texas, Salome. Yes, it was her voice. She didn't have much to say at that hour of the night, but then Salome didn't have to say a whole lot to scare the living bejeebers out of two dogs and one little boy. She said, "Alfred!" Dead silence, fellers, except for all the throbbing hearts in the room. Three throbbing hearts. Nobody breathed or moved. We were frozen, petrified. Although that bacon was still draped over my snout, and I found myself twisting my head around to see if I could, you know, if God twists his head far enough in one direction, he'll fall over backward. Try it sometime. Just lean your head back as far as you'll go, and then lean it back some more. It works. Boy, I felt pretty silly falling over backward, right in the middle of such a scary scenery. But by George, it happened before I knew it. After Alfred almost had a stroke. His eyes were this big around. I guess you can see how big around they were. His eyes got as big around as, I don't know, real big and real wide. And he had his finger up to his lips, and he was trying to tell me to shut up and be still. I froze. Alfred froze. Jover shivered. In the silence, we heard another dreaded squeak of the bed. Then the dreaded voice, "Alfred, is that you?" Alfred's eyes flew from side to side. He didn't know what to do. Answer, say nothing, stand still, or run like a striped ape. I sympathized because I didn't have a great plan for my own health and survival, shall we say. And I was getting worried about Grover. You know Grover, when he gets scared, he just falls apart. He'll run in circles, squeak, crash into things. You never know what the little mutt's going to do next. So far, he was holding himself together. That was good, because we had pretty much drifted into one of those situations from which some dogs never return alive. I mean, if Salome ever caught us in her kitchen in the middle of the... Ooh, boy, we didn't need to go very far down that road to find a couple of tombstones. Had I gotten myself into this mess? Oh, yes, the storm and the bacon, speaking of which, I still hadn't been able to snag that bacon, and that aroma of it was about to drive me. The voice that chills came again from the other room. "Loper, wake up!" "Loper, someone is in the house!" "Loper, wake up!" "Huh, what?" "I heard a sound in the kitchen. I'll be darned. Would you like to go check it out?" "Nope." Silence. "Ouch, those are my ribs." "Dear, please." Okay. The bed squeaked. Footsteps on the floor. "Okay, kitchen. All you people in the kitchen, stand at attention. Here I come." He was coming. That was pretty serious, but not nearly as serious as if Salome herself had come. Somehow, the thought of getting murdered by a Loper didn't terrify me as much. Still, we had to do something. I glanced at Alfred. He looked rather pale. Seemed to me, and scared beyond recognition. The sound of bare feet moved across the floor filled the dreadful silence. They were coming our way. The feet, that is, Loper, was coming our way too, walking on his... You get the idea.
still watching Alfred, waiting for him to give us a sign. So do something. Don't just stand there. Several lives are at stake here. The footsteps were coming closer and closer. My heart was pounding. The boy was frozen in his tracks. I was so scared that I could no longer smell that wonderful bacon draped over my snout. That's pretty scared. Footsteps in the darkness. The rumble of thunder outside. Hearts racing and pounding. Then chapter 7. Inside the cover's cavern.
Okay. Whoa. It's so exciting. Oh, dear.
What we got here? Okay. You want to say something else?
Oh, sure.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Well, I can tell you that this book is very funny, although Alfred, he actually takes a piece of raw bacon from the icebox refrigerator icebox. And Limoleon floor.
So I would normally read a chapter now, but I'm a little groggy.
Groggy? You mean sleepy?
Yes, so. Now, tell you what, we're going to say your prayer for Mommy right now, okay?
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Bring me sweet dreams through the night, and wake me with the morning light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, Mommy. See you tomorrow afternoon. It's already been 3 hours. Take a look.
Nope, 32 minutes. That's how long this tape is, 32 minutes.
I see.
Give me a smooch. Okay, good night.
Good night, Mommy. I love you.